When you think of a nation's infrastructure, you probably picture steel bridges or, highways and power grids, just solid concrete.
Right, yeah. We tend to assume the air around us just is.
Exactly. But the most complex, highly engineered piece of infrastructure around you is actually completely invisible, and you are breathing it right now. So welcome to today's deep dive. Our source material today is South Africa's National Environment Management, Air Quality Act 39 of 2004.
Yeah, that is a bit of a mouthful. But the mission here is to understand how a nation legally engineers the very air its citizens breathe.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because this isn't just some dry, boring legislation. It's actually a massive overhaul of a really dated 1965 law anchored in a constitutional right to an environment that isn't harmful to health.
Right. And, the preamble of this act does something really important right out of the
Oh,
gate.
yeah. What does it do?
Well, it explicitly acknowledges a stark reality. It
Yeah.
basically says that air pollution carries this massive cost that almost never falls on the polluter.
Wow, so true.
Yeah. And historically, that burden falls overwhelmingly on poorer communities.
I mean, it's the ultimate example of privatizing the profits while socializing the waste management costs. It's like going to this bizarre restaurant where the victims pay for the meal the polluter ordered. So, how does this act actually force the polluter to pick up the check?
What's fascinating here is the aggressive clampdown on what the act calls licit activities. I mean, you can't just build a factory and turn on the exhaust vents anymore.
Right, you'd need a permit.
Exactly. You need an atmospheric emission license. But they don't just hand you a permanent piece of paper on day one. You start with a provisional license.
Oh, interesting. So it was like a trial period.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
You only get the final approval if you can prove, using real operational data over time, that your emissions consistently stay under the legal limit.
Okay, that makes sense for a brand new facility. But what do you do about areas where the air is, already a toxic soup? I mean, you can't exactly unpermit an entire industrial valley.
No, you can't. And that's exactly why the Act created priority areas.
Priority areas.
Yeah, so if ambient air quality standards are dangerously exceeded, the national minister or a provincial MEC can declare that specific zone a priority area.
Okay, and what does that actually do?
It triggers this mandatory coordinated management plan to aggressively pull the pollution back down to safe levels across all the different sources in that region.
But wait, does this just apply to massive factories, or does this reach into daily life? Because if my neighbor burns trash or has a really foul-smelling setup, that affects my air just as
Oh,
much.
it definitely does. It gets highly specific. The Act regulates everything from greenhouse gases all the way down to dust, noise, and even offensive odors on private premises.
Right, really? Offensive odors.
Yes. You are legally required to take reasonable steps to prevent your property from emitting a smell that causes a nuisance. And local municipalities are actually empowered to regulate that.
But a local rule about offensive odors without actual teeth is just a suggestion. I mean, how do you enforce limits on invisible gases and smells?
With very heavy sticks. We're talking about severe consequences, like up to 10 years in prison for serious offenses.
10 years. Wow.
Yeah. And the science backing it up is rigorous. Schedule 2 of the Act lays out very strict mathematical limits, like capping lead at 2.5 micrograms per cubic meter over a month, or strict limits on PM10 particles.
And I guess you'd have to constantly monitor that.
Right. It relies on continuous ambient air monitoring networks to track if those exact thresholds are being breached.
Here's where it gets really interesting. When a court determines a penalty, they actually calculate the fine by looking at the monetary benefits the convicted person gained by committing the offense.
Exactly.
It's like getting a speeding ticket that is mathematically calculated to cost you exactly what you saved by speeding to work instead of, say, taking the toll road.
Right. It destroys the financial incentive to pollute.
Right.
When the penalty erases whatever money you saved by cutting corners, compliance just becomes the cheaper business decision.
So, the big takeaway for you listening is that the air you breathe isn't just empty space. It is actively managed and legally protected infrastructure.
It is, but it does leave us with a complex question to consider.
Oh.
Yeah. If the law empowers local municipalities to regulate offensive odors and establish their own strict limits, could this framework eventually be weaponized?
Weaponized how?
Well, could a wealthy neighborhood use environmental law to legally ban the smells of certain agricultural or working-class industries, effectively using air quality to zone out specific communities?
Wow. It really makes you wonder who ultimately gets to decide what counts as a nuisance. It's So next time you take a deep breath, remember, you aren't just inhaling oxygen.
No, you're inhaling a highly engineered, fiercely debated piece of legal architecture.